Father God, I just truly do thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. I thank you, Father, Holy Spirit, that you came tonight in a mighty way and that you're moving over God's people. You're changing, rearranging, doing whatever needs to be done to bring us into that place in God that the enemy cannot touch us. Father, eradicate all sin out of this room. We just invite your angelic host to be in here to minister to your people. And Father God, let the truth be received tonight. Let it go deep into the spirits. Let that seed take root so your people can change. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sang those songs. I had Brother Aaron's put those songs together because God's talking about miracles tonight. You know, if you expect God to do a miracle in your life, then you have to quit walking in attitudes. You've got to get yourself together where God can speak to you and you don't right away grab hold of an attitude. Some of you don't hear God's voice and God uses other people to speak to you. And right away you cop an attitude. Right there you should know there's something not right in your life. So many people right now are playing games with God and God showed me there's some not going to make it. I don't know how many ways God can tell us that he's only going to take the holy into the holy of holies. I don't know how many ways he can tell us that his grace is sufficient, that we need to get out of our sin and walk in holiness. I just don't know how many ways. I don't think there's any more ways he can say it than what he's already done. I don't understand how anybody who can come in the house of God and pretend to worship. And I say pretend because you still have sin raging throughout your being and you're standing there singing. It's not pleasing unto God. You've been in the way too long and God's getting ready to move you out of the way. I'm really sorry I have to say this tonight because this is what God's telling me to say. Because some of you are just thinking this is a big game. It's not a game. We are in warfare. We are in mighty warfare. God sat there and told me a certain person has spit in his face and he's spitting back into their face. And they're going to know that he's God when they're finished with him. And I sure wouldn't want to be in that person's shoes while you're finding out that God is God. You know, God only tolerates so much of that junk and then he says enough is enough. Are you understand what God's saying here? You guys who think you want to go out there and preach the gospel, you're going to have to really let God clean you up. And you're really going to have to be walking in holiness and purity of heart. And you're going to have to be bold enough to say whatever God is asking you to say. It's just that simple. And you can play games with yourself all you want, but God knows you. He knows you inside out. And believe it or not, I know more about you than you think I know. All right? And I'm hearing God say the last trumpet blast has been blown. The next one will be when his son, Jesus, comes back after his bride. And will you be among that troop that he gathers together? Serious. And as I was coming this morning, God spoke to me. He said, this truly is the time when I am preparing for the second coming of my son, Jesus. He said, this is why God is so serious, because you guys right now that he's called and he's trying to clean up, you guys are the ones he's going to use to usher in the second coming of his son, Jesus. And he wants you guys walking in holiness, and because, see, the church has denied Christ. They've rejected him. And you guys, I don't know, you know, you've been in mess, but you're the ones that God has looked at and hand chosen to take those mantles and help God prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus. You generation is here right now. You just, right now, I know you don't understand the fullness of time. I'm just telling you what God's saying. You don't understand the fullness of time. You don't understand the hour that you're truly living in. You don't understand the depth of God's call on your life at this point. But God's saying he's going to move upon you, and you're going to know immediately what God is calling you forth to do. And there will be no more questions. You'll just know, I'm called, and I have to go forth, and I have to do. And you could be just like me. You know, I wanted to go away to school when God called me. He said, no, I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. Everything I know, I've been taught by the Holy Spirit. And it's a whole lot better than doctrine. You can't get any better than the Holy Spirit teaching you of all things. So don't be looking for man to teach you everything. You need to get before God and just allow God to start teaching you. Ask him questions. You know, he loves it when you said, and I'm hearing him say, when you go to the school of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you all things exactly the way they should be. When I was first born again, I've always gone to church, always. I've always read my word, never understood it, but always read it. And once I was born again, all of a sudden, I just see things that I never saw before. And I would take it to whatever pastor I was under, and they would say, that is not what that is saying. Go sit down. But it was. It was saying exactly what God was showing me it was saying. They didn't know it, even though they'd been preaching and teaching. They didn't know it, but all of a sudden, here I arrive on the scene of nobody. And I know things they don't know, but I only know them through the Holy Spirit. You know? I'm not a genius, not at all. Can't even write an essay, can I, Aaron? You know, but I just rely on the Holy Spirit to teach me all things. And I'm going to tell you right now, man will put on a pretty face and they'll act real religious, but they can't teach you anything because the Spirit of God does not abide within. So guys, if we're going to talk about miracles, and if you're going to walk in those miracles, you're going to have to change from the inside out. You're going to have to put away the facade and become real, really real, and let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, I can assure you that whoever believes in me will do the same things I have done. If you read the word, Jesus did a whole lot of things, did he not? I can assure you that whoever believes in me will do the same things I have done, and they will do even greater things than I have done, because I am going to the Father. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you. Then the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you're truly, if you have truly allowed God to change you from the inside out, if you're truly walking in holiness and purity of heart, then you can take this verse and you can live by it. If you ask me anything, I will do it. If you're half in and half out, it's not going to happen. If you're pretending like you're somebody you're not, it's not going to happen. You have to be real. Really real. And if you really get into the Bible and look at the Bible as a real people in this Bible, then you will start understanding that we're not some superhuman thing that exists in a world. We are still human beings trying to live our best for Christ. And in trying to live our best for Christ, we hit many, many stones on our road that we're walking on. But we don't stay down. We get back up and we move on and do the things God has called us forth to do. I don't know about you, but when I was first born again, I looked at a pastor like they were God. I believed everything they said. I never questioned anything. And then slowly but surely, I started to see they weren't following God's word. And they weren't living what they were teaching. And then I lost faith in preachers. See, my faith should have always been in God. But I'm like everybody else. I always thought a preacher was flawless. They had no sins whatsoever. I mean, they were without flaw. They had no sins whatsoever. And you could rest assured of what they were saying was the truth. But that wasn't so, and it still isn't so today. That is why you need to get in your Word and read the Word for yourself. And that is why you need to get before God and let the Holy Spirit teach you of all things. Now, this is God speaking. Children, it is miracle-working time. I have brought you to this time in my kingdom for the greater works. Now, you know, I really don't know what the greater works were, but with Jesus, he walked everywhere he went. You know, and he went into the towns and saved the people in the towns. But we fly, we drive, and we can reach a multitude of people at one time where Jesus didn't. You know, he didn't meet thousands. And I really believe that's what the greater works is, that we will bring in greater harvest than what he was able to bring in because he was just confined to the towns. I mean, you can go to God and ask him what the greater works is. And if he tells you, please let me know. All right. All right, children, it is miracle working time. I have brought you to this time in my kingdom for the greater works. My voice shall be heard loud and clear through my remnant ones. And who are you? The remnant ones. Signs, wonders, and miracles will be seen wherever you go. Now, did you hear what he just said? Signs, wonders, and miracles will be seen wherever you go. I want you guys to grasp all that because that can happen. When I was born again, I don't care where I went, there was always something going on. Somebody was healed or something was happening, a miraculous thing was happening. I know for a fact that this is real and that we can walk in this. God said, but before this can take place, you must believe. Get that in your spirit. You must believe you have the power and authority to perform such feats. I'm here to tell you that whatever you read in the Bible, you can do. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do whatever's in the Bible. I read what was in the Word, and God said I could do it, so I did it. Pastors told me that I was of the devil, that I did sit down, shut up, that I could not do the things I was doing. But my Word told me I could. It told me I could raise the dead. I raised the dead. It told me I could cast out demons. I cast out demons. You see what I'm saying? Whatever the Word, whatever Jesus told us we can do, we can do. But the church leaders have stifled these things and told their congregations that it's not, we shouldn't be doing those things. So what happened? The church quit doing it. It is time right now. I want you to wipe all that garbage out of your mind. God's word is yes and it's amen. God means exactly what he says. He does not say something he doesn't mean. So if God says we can do it, then we can do it. Right before getting further, I'm going to tell you, and some of you know it and some of you don't, but the one time when I raised the dead man three different times, you know, and he finally came out of the hospital, and then God told me, he said, I was sitting at my desk at work, and he said, daughter, I'm going to take him. I ran to the bathroom and I said, no, you're not. No, he was a young guy. He had a lot of potential. And he said, okay, daughter, this is what we're going to do. He said, if I leave him here, he won't be with me. Because he was told to leave his wife, who was an atheist, and he wouldn't leave her. And if I take him right now, he'll come to heaven. But if I leave him, he won't ever come to heaven. He said, I'm leaving the decision in your hands. If you want him to stay, I'll let him stay. If you want him to go, I'll bring him on home. And I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, you know, I said, God, you go ahead and take him because I want him to go to heaven. But God told me it's your decision. Whatever you choose, that's what I'll do. And God knows my heart. He knows I only want the very best for everybody. And he said, okay. He said, 5 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get a phone call that gone. No, that he's in the hospital. 5 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call from the brother saying they took him back into the hospital. I went to the hospital that night after work, and his wife was sitting there. She said, "You are not coming through this door. You are not going to keep him alive again. He is going to die." And I looked at him, and he said, "Please go. Just please go." And he died that day. But God gave me the choice. God trusted me that much. Can God trust you that much is what I'm getting at. Can he trust you? He knew I'd make the right decision. Can he trust you to make the right decision? I want you to think about this. God's saying right now, can he trust you that you know that you know that you know that you have authority and power in the name of Jesus to speak and it'll come to pass? But God said here, but before you can take this can take place, you must believe you have the power and authority to perform such feats. And that's just what he asked you. You cannot just talk about it. You must take that step of faith and do. Have you looked in the book and really studied how the miracles took place? I prayed a dead man back to life one time. It was my pastor. And I was in Pennsylvania. My husband was burying his mother. And they called and said, Dad fell out of the, he had a heart attack, fell out of the deer stand, and he died. I had my husband, I said, take me to the mountain. You know, Pennsylvania is a mountain. But I said, take me to the highest mountain around here, and he did. And I got up and I screamed, looked up, and I felt I was as close to God as I could get standing on that mountaintop. And I said, God, do not let this man die. Bring him back to life. And I prayed until I felt a release, and I went, got in the car and went back down. And when I got there, one of the family met me, and they said, you need to call Delaware right away. They need to talk to you right now. And they gave me the number, and I called. And it was the man's son, and he said, Pastor, Sister Barbara, please quit praying. Daddy said he wants to go back to heaven. He does not want to stay here, and he wants you to quit praying. Please, he said, quit praying for him. That's what the father said. Don't pray no more, because God brought him back. He said, what he saw up there was so wonderful that he doesn't want to stay down here. So I said, God, if he doesn't want to come back, go ahead and take him on home. And he died instantly. I had a choice there, too. I could have said, God, please don't let him die. Because he was so anointed of God, so full of spirit. And he has so much work to do for the Father. He's very good with men. And I know that's why the devil took him out, because he was getting men turned around. Can God trust you to do that kind of thing? See, you don't know how deep you can really go with God. You just sort of sit here, you're on the surface, but there's so much to God, and there's so far into God you can go. Even I have not yet gone as far as I need to go. But God told me in the last song, he said, daughter, you and I are going to take a journey. And he said, you're going to be so full of me that nobody can stop you. So I know God's not finished with me. I've known that for a while. And I know I can't let anybody else stop me. And you have to know the same thing. You have to know that God's not finished with you. And you can't allow anything or anybody to stop you. It doesn't matter what the devil throws your way. You have to hold on to what God is doing in your life. Don't stop now, Deborah. Don't stop now. The devil's going to try to make you stop. He's going to put a situation in your path where you're going to think you need to do this other thing instead of following God. God's saying, don't stop now. He's forewarning you. This is coming your way. Okay. God said, you cannot just talk about it. You must take that step of faith and do. Have you looked in the book and really studied how the miracles took place? Then God said, let's take a look right now. In Luke 9:35. Then there came a voice out of the cloud saying, where'd the voice come from? Out of the sky, right? This is my son, my chosen one, or my beloved, listen to and yield to and obey him. And when the voice had died away, Jesus was found there alone, and they kept still and told no one at that time. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration. But God said, Jesus was standing there. He was talking about Jesus. This is my son, my chosen one or beloved. Listen to and yield to and obey him. That's talking to us today. Do we listen to Jesus? Do we yield to him? Do we obey what he's telling us to do? Everything he's telling us to do, not just some things. In Mark 9:14 says, then Jesus, Peter, James, and John went to the other followers. They saw many people around them. The teachers of the law were arguing with the followers. When the people saw Jesus, they were very surprised and ran to welcome him. Jesus asked, what are you arguing about with the teachers of the law? Don't ever argue the Bible with anybody. You know what the Bible says? Don't allow somebody else to twist it and turn it into something that's not of God. Verse 17 said, a man answered, teacher, I brought my son to you. He is controlled by an evil spirit that keeps him from talking. The spirit attacks him and throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes very stiff. And then the father went on to say, I asked your followers to force the evil spirit out, but they could not. Jesus answered, you people today don't believe. That applies to us today. The reason why you can't get spirits out is you don't believe. That is why you can't walk in power and authority, because you don't believe. Jesus said, how long must I stay with you? How long must I be patient with you? Bring the boy to me. Jesus was upset. So the followers brought the boy to Jesus. When the evil spirits saw Jesus, the boy didn't see Jesus. Who saw Jesus? The evil spirit saw Jesus. It attacked who? The boy that he was in. The boy fell down and rolled on the ground. He was foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has this been happening to him? The father answered, since he was very young. The spirit often throws him into a fire or into water to kill him. Then he says, if you can do anything, please have pity on us and help us. Jesus said to the father, why did you say if you can? All things are possible for the one who believes. See, the man did not really believe. Jesus did not have to heal them, take the demon out of that boy, because the man didn't have the faith for it to happen. How many of you are praying for something and it's not happening? If it's your will, Father. And God said to me the other day, get in my word, tell them to get in my word and find out what my will is, and quit saying, if it is your will. All right. What that's saying is you don't really have faith to believe, so you're going to stick it all in God. That's really what that's saying. Where am I at? 24. Immediately the father shouted, I do believe. Help me to believe more. See what the father said? He immediately shouted that. Jesus saw that all the people were running there to see what was happening. So he spoke to the evil spirit and he said, you evil spirit that makes this boy deaf and stops him from talking, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. The evil spirit screamed. It caused the boy to fall on the ground again, and then it came out. The boy looked as if he was dead. Many people said, he is dead. But Jesus took hold of his hand and helped him stand up. Then Jesus went into the house. His followers were alone with him there. They said, why weren't we able to force that evil spirit out? And Jesus answered, that kind of spirit can be forced out only with prayer. And then Luke 2:29 says, so Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. You guys that do deliverances on Deliverances Day, I would suggest that you pray and fast that day. And if you if you don't want to pray and fast all the time, don't schedule 3 or 4 days in a row. We used to always pray and fast before we did a deliverance. Then God says, what better way to convert an unbeliever but by showing them miracles? You guys in here that really want to work for God, you've already tried to witness to people, it's not working. Now we need to show them miracles. Tell them of the miracle working Father that you serve. Mark 6 verse 1 says, then he went out from there and came to his own country. This is talking about Jesus, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get, I want you to listen to what's being said here, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at Jesus. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and his own house. In other words, I can't do any great works in this church because you all just figure I'm just Barbara. You don't honor me. And that's not everybody, but a majority. When I go out on the road, all kind of miracles happen. And I mean all kind of miracles happen. But in here, they aren't happening, God said, because they don't honor you. Are you listening to this? And I don't want you to honor me. What I'm saying is this is going to happen to you. You know that God is using you. You know God wants to do things, but they can't be done. It's because they look at you and say, oh, well, that's just Kelly. Look what she used to do. Just like they said here, isn't he the carpenter? I don't care what your profession is. You're still anointed by God. And Rob, I don't know what you've been, but they must say, look, I know who he is. I know what he does. Who does he think he is? He doesn't think he is somebody. He knows he is somebody. He knows he's a chosen son of God. See, you have to know that you're chosen of God, or the enemy will take you off your feet. Now Jesus could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. Then Jesus went about the villages in a circuit teaching, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out 2 by 2. And gave them power over unclean spirits. So they went out and preached that people should repent. What did they do? They preached repentance, just like Jesus, John the Baptist, Jesus, and the disciples. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. I made that blue because of what you see. It didn't say everybody. It just said many. All right, so if you're praying for a multitude, not everybody in that multitude will be healed or saved. Some will, some won't. So don't let the devil say, see, you have no power and authority. Why didn't the rest of them get healed? All right? When I first started in the ministry, God spoke to me and on me and said, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it. So what did I have to do? I had to believe every word in the Bible was true, which I did. And whatever it said I could do, I could do. No questions asked except walking on water. I did exactly what the Bible said I could do. And God, because God said, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it. If I laid my hand on the sick, God would heal the sick. If I went to somebody and laid my hand on my cast, I told the spirit to leave, this God would take the spirit out of them. Do you understand this? Whatever you ask God to do, he's going to do. But you have to believe. You really have to believe with every fiber of your being. And whenever your little stupid mind wants to say, well, God, do you really want? You just have to shut up. You know, just have to shut up. And go ahead and do what you know God's calling you to do. So then I said, That is exactly what I did. There was nothing impossible with God, and I just set forth to accomplish the impossible with God at my side. That's just what I did, working the miracles that I trusted and believed for him to do. I would do things in my house, and my people say, Mom, you can't do that kind of stuff. But yeah, I can. The Bible says I can. The Bible says I'm anointed, so I can. And it says I can do the same thing Jesus did. So this is what I'm doing. I remember little Jimmy. He had that. He was born with a bad heel, and he had a cast. And they said he'll wear this rest of his life. And she came home and told me that. I said, no, he won't. I marched him upstairs. I carried him upstairs, put him in a bathtub, and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking this cast off. He's not going to ever wear a cast. He never wore casts. She said, what am I going to do when I go back to the doctor? I said, just tell him your mother just dropped him in the tub or something. They never asked her where the cast was at. And they never tried to put another, and they sent those shoes on you, little braces, and I threw them in the trash. She said, no, I'm not believing this for him. He never wore a cast. He still has a bad heel. But, you know, God can heal that too when he gets his act together. You see, you don't have to go by what man says. I'm not telling you to be rebellious. I'm reading you scriptures to show you can do these things and how to do them. All right, God said, children, you must also step out in faith, just trusting and believing in my word. My word says exactly what I wanted to say. And if I say you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, then that is exactly what's going to happen. There is absolutely nothing that I will withhold from you from this point on. Hey, guys, he's talking to you all in here tonight. There is absolutely nothing that I will withhold from you from this point on. We played those songs about miracles. God did move mightily in those songs. And now he's teaching you about miracles. So from the tonight on, you have no excuse why things aren't happening. What happened to me was everybody kept, all the pastors around kept telling me, you can't do those things. They kept telling their people, she's of the devil. Don't go anywhere near her. I mean, their church was packed out. It didn't matter. But one day, I was standing up here, and the church was packed out, and I was ministering to the people at the altar. And I said to myself, what if this doesn't happen? It didn't happen. Unbelief took hold. And that's what stopped the miracles right there. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Never say, what if this doesn't happen? God told me whatever I placed my hands to do, he would do. And I walked in that for 30-some years, and all of a sudden, what if this doesn't happen? Now, wasn't that stupid? Where did that thought come from? It didn't come from heavenly source. It came from the very pits of hell. And it stopped me. And I've been working now trying to get back into fellowship with God to the point he'll trust me again. That was a soul standing in front of me who needed a healing. And they didn't get it because I got allowed doubt and unbelief to step in. Serious stuff. You don't play around with God and his kingdom. Where am I at? There's absolutely nothing that I would hope you. We read that, didn't we? No. All right, I'm going to go back and read this. Children, you must also step out in faith, just trusting and believing in my word. My word says exactly what I wanted to say. And if I say you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, then that is exactly what's going to happen. Now, I want to stop here again and say the disciples walked in unbelief many, many times. If you really read your word, they didn't do any miracles when Jesus was walking the earth. They were not filled with the Spirit. They just were being taught. Jesus took them with him for 3 years. They were being taught how to walk in miracles. It was after Jesus died that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when they were teaching, then signs, wonders, and miracles started happening. God said, there is absolutely nothing that I will withhold from you from this point on. My miracle working powers are at work, and I am watching and waiting for those who will step out in faith without any hesitation. And just do. Come on. Have I not been saying that you are walking into the Acts chapter 2 miracles? Then that is exactly what you are doing. Come, peoples, get up and walk in miracle-working powers. How did Peter walk in miracle-working power after he denied me? Number one, Peter repented, and I accepted his repentance. Number two, his love to me was revived. He returned to his first love, and Peter became. Number three, the boldest of the bold. And from that time forward, in confessing Christ. And number four, there was less boasting than there had been before. He became very humble. Peter was very prideful, but God knocked that right out of him. And number five, but Peter never flinched again. And number six, there were no more denials. Some of you are still walking in the Peter that wasn't yet revived. And until you get all the junk out of you and you become bold and you get rid of that pride, God can't use you. Legend has it that Peter requested to be crucified hanging upside down because he didn't think he was worthy to die the same death as Jesus had. He was not worthy of dying the same death. Most of all, he was not worthy of the gospel, but he was still willing to die. He felt like because he denied Christ, he was not worthy. How many of you walk in unworthiness? Stop. I've been there at times, but stop. He felt he was unworthy, but yet he was willing to die for Christ. And upside down yet, to boot. Trying to spread the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he went through. He's willing to die, trying to spread the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that they were after the disciples. He knew that they were going to kill him, but that did not stop him from doing the works he had to do. Okay, what if it come down to the fact that we were going to be put in prison for preaching the gospel? How many of you all of a sudden will forget every word you ever heard in the Bible because you don't want to go to prison? All right, you see? It could happen. There are some Christians in prison right now, forgot what they're there for, and they didn't do anything, but they won't let them out of prison. Matthew 14:25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. This is talking about when he walked on the water. He went to them walking on the water, on the sea. What did Jesus tell us in verse 12? He says, I can assure you that whoever believes in me will do the same things I have done. See, I should be able to walk on water, right? And they will do even greater things than I have done because I am going to the Father. What did we just read Jesus did? He walked on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And verse 27 says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. He actually walked on the water, but the circumstances around about him caused him to sink. You know, God is calling us to do miraculous things, and I'm not talking about walking on water. He's calling us to do miraculous things, but Satan will put circumstances around about us that will make us sink. That we won't be able to do the things God called us for to do. Peter said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I really want to push this thing about unbelief into you tonight, because if you get out of unbelief, you can do anything the Word tells you you can do, absolutely anything. We see, God said, we see that fear and faith cannot live in the same heart, for fear frequently blinds the eyes to the presence of the Lord. No, God didn't say that. I said that. We see that fear and faith cannot live in the same heart, for fear frequently blinds the eyes to the presence of the Lord. How many people are walking in fear? You don't know what tomorrow holds. I keep telling my people, just trust God. He can take care of all things. Quit looking at the circumstances. Trust God. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what he's doing for you. Then God said, children, you cannot in any way doubt. if you're going to walk in the same miracle-working power that my son Jesus walked in. Then God says, what does my word tell you in Mark 16:14? Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And this is when he hung on a cross, died, and you know, came out of the tomb. Some people saw him, but the rest of them didn't believe. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now, this is what you should be able to do. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's what you're allowed to do. When I read that, I believed that, and I did that. Are you listening here? Verse 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. Now listen to this. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. They preached a word and then the miracles occurred. God said, I will do for you just as my word tells you. As I sent the disciples out fully empowered, I so desire to do the same with you this day. It is miracle working time, and I am calling. Are you listening? And are you ready to do the greater works? God has been doing things to you up until this time to get you ready to do the greater works. Remember when I always used to say, God, I wish we could go back to where we were. And God said, don't ever want to go where you were, even though it was good, because I have so much greater ahead of you. So forget about yesterday and step into the future. Say yes to God. Believe God. From this moment forth, you can no longer have unbelief in your heart. That will just nullify everything God's trying to do for you. You have to trust him and you have to believe him. All right, you say, well, devil, I don't want this addiction. I don't care if it's cigarettes. I don't care if it's food. I don't care what I don't care if it's TV, pornography. I don't want this addiction anymore. Are you really saying it where he knows that you really don't want it? Or are you just saying it, testing the waters to see if it will really happen? There's a difference. So what are you doing today? Are you testing the waters, or you really mean what you say? I've been watching you as I've been preaching. I know some of you that aren't going to make it because you aren't interested in what God's saying. And I know there's others of you in here that you're on fire for God, and God's going to use you to do great and mighty works. Now, God wants to fully empower you tonight. And after tonight, I want to hear where you have seen signs, wonders, and miracles occurring. You know, a miracle can be the tiniest thing. It doesn't have to have somebody, a leg grow on. It can be the tiniest thing. So I want you to get out of that mindset too. Well, I have to see somebody's blind eyes, you know, pop open. I have to see a leg grow back on. That is a miracle, yes. But you know what? There's other things God does to this greater miracle. Somebody coming up to you and saying, you've made me believe in Jesus, is a miracle. You know, that's a sign and a wonder, especially when you know they've been the hardcore and they come to you crying, I really do love you and you made me believe in Jesus. So do you want fully empowered tonight? The altar's open.